I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way. Catamaran home! I'm recording an album of covers of songs by women.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think maybe men haven't given those songs a shot. And I'm calling it Cover Up. And I'm going to have a hijab made.
Are you really?
Yes. Yeah. That's my idea. I may just push out and call it Under the Covers and have men and women.
Yeah, okay.
That was my original thought. We're joined today by two very special guests on the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Blake is free man.
How are you, mate?
And Eve Ellen Bogan. Hey. But Eve's not really on the pod. She's just on the visual component. Setting up the set. And I thought, wouldn't this be good? Sunglasses make me feel like a dickhead.
Do they? I think they look great. They're very top gun.
It feels like a power move to have you on and then wear sunglasses. Thank you for coming. Well, I've known you for years. When did I meet you?
I think we met in Adelaide. We must have met in Adelaide.
I think it was Melbourne. I think it was Station 69. I don't know what it's called.
Station 59.
Station 59.
Did we meet there?
Yeah, I did a show. I'd just come to Melbourne and I wasn't able to do good gigs, and I went out there and I did that one. I mean, it's odd because that was a terrible gig. Like that night that I went, there was almost nobody there.
Yeah.
But so many good comedians started out in the Melbourne scene who are now like the Melbourne comedians. So I'm like, hey, they're very good. Started out there. There was a big wave.
It is crazy. Everyone started there and then realized that the guy who ran it was an interesting cat, and we all bailed. And we're like, why don't we just do other spots?
By recollection, he was principled. He always had like a cause. I would see him with a sign being like, this is free comedy, and that means something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very much so his thing, but...
Now, do you think that hammering will be audible?
I 100% think so.
I didn't really think... How much hammering is there, would you say, Eve?
Quite a bit.
Okay. It seems like it's going to be all hammering.
No, it adds color. I'm trying to take people with me on this journey. I don't know why I've done this. This is a terrible idea. I know, you're right. You got to listen to the producer sometimes. And then when did you meet? So I came to Melbourne and you had just started. You were too young to get into gigs.
Yeah.
You were 17, but you were getting in anyway.
I was getting in. I was allowed to do the spot and then I had to leave immediately after. I would be on stage. There was one time I was on stage where I was doing the spot and I said I was 17 and then they were like, you have to leave right now.
During the set?
Yeah, I did like 2 minutes of a spot and then the guy behind the bar was like, you have to go. You can't be in here.
We are a nanny state. I think in America they'd let a small child come in.
You reckon?
They'd have no problem with it. Did you ever do fish face comedy?
Fish face. Oh, the one in the... because it was like a cafe, restaurant, video store,
shop. They
comedy
had massage
club.
Chairs out front.
Yes.
I got very bad food poisoning.
Yeah.
And it was run by a man who I believe was filming pornography.
He was. He would film it there. Because there was...
I didn't know that.
They built a whole back section. They'd taken out some of like the DVDs.
I didn't know this.
And they built like a small room, probably this big.
Yeah.
And there was just a table in there. And he
took sex on the table.
Yeah, yeah. And he took me in there and he was like, this is where I film porn. And I remember being 17 and so scared of this man.
Oh, look, I would have been in my early 20s and I was terrified.
Yeah,
they gave out awards instead of money. There was office lighting. It was in West Footscray.
Yeah.
Which I never went back to. Eve, you never did this gig.
No.
It would have closed by that time. I love this. I love that. I just love everything. There were... Melbourne was different because it was big enough. In Adelaide was small, so small that the people who were doing it semi-professionally and the people who were schizophrenic would do the same room.
Yeah.
They're just like there was one scene and that was it. But Melbourne was slightly bigger and could stratify into pro, semi-pro, underclass, to use a term that you disparage me for saying.
You did call me underclass last night.
I had thought you were underclass.
I am that, but I would never call myself
one of
that.
The only like people from a disadvantaged background in Australian comedy, I believe. It's a
you
very
reckon?
It's a posh boys club.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have studied law who do stand up.
Like I mean, me included.
Did you really?
I dropped out.
Yeah, okay. But I think that's more common than people who have finished it.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
And he definitely wrote his own final essay. He didn't get me to do that for him. Like an international student hiring an underpaid professor. Yes, so I know I could have... I'll put it this way. I could have finished a law degree. I could have done the final paper, but I did not.
See, I'd never been to... I went to a technical college.
You're a TAFE boy.
Yeah.
What did you study at TAFE?
I studied creative industries and media. But we studied it...
Oh, man, that is such a rort.
It was a complete rort. I still don't know how to use like Photoshop or anything. But it was at a school where everyone else there... There were kids who had been expelled or had been in juvenile detention and no other school would take them. And then there was me and six other people who just wanted to learn Photoshop.
And they didn't teach you Photoshop?
No.
It's their only job is to let you know how Photoshop works.
Well, it was more just the harassment you would get from the kids who definitely were on their way to actual jail very soon.
Well, it's important to try and catch some of those kids before they get there and to have these programs. But I think you would have done well at RMIT. Although that means, you know, you possibly avoided a lot of the indoctrination. I sat in on some of those RMIT classes. So I knew people who were going there. And I at Adelaide Uni, I went to media studies, like, O-week things.
Yeah, okay.
It's nuts. None of it was technical abilities. All of it was like, what is the media? What is our role? Who are we? What is society? It's like, this is...
Yeah, okay. See, I think I have a terrible idea of what media is. Like, what media study is. Because they told us it was film.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, this is for film.
This is film school.
Yeah, yeah. Which it was, it couldn't have been anything further from film. We never filmed anything. We didn't film a single thing. We took photos.
And then didn't edit them?
Didn't edit them. Oh, well, they were like, yeah, edit it on photo. And then, like, no guidance. So
just go do it on photo.
Yeah, yeah. So I would change, I would just change my photos to black and white.
Nice.
And be like, that's what I thought. I think that's crazy. I'm surprised I passed.
How long did you last here?
I think I did, like, I think it was like 10 months or...
I choose to believe
that's
not annoying for the listeners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just not going to acknowledge it.
No, good. We'll just ignore it. From here on out, we don't mention it.
We shouldn't mention it.
So a few months?
Yeah, like I think 10 months all up. Over 2 years.
All right, and what did you do? So that got you to what, 20?
That was for high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you a high school dropout?
Technically, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I would fist bump you, but that would mean I too was a high school dropout.
Yeah, I was gonna
but
say,
I did very well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
At a lot. Lux. School. Can't help noticing you were wearing a pearl necklace last night.
I was, yes.
And you've swapped it for a chain.
I brought multiple necklaces on my 2-week trip.
How many necklaces do you currently have?
I have four.
Is this to ingratiate you with the New York sophisticates, or were you a necklace wearer in Australia?
I was a very new necklace wearer on the way out of Australia.
Really?
And then I thought I'd really ramp it up in America.
Not chains, necklaces.
Yeah. Wait, this is sort of a chain, isn't
it? That is a chain. That's totally a late 90s soap shoe wearing. Do you have soap shoes?
I don't have soap shoes.
Slightly different generation. That would be like a part of the... Do you know what soap shoes were?
No.
Do you remember soap shoes?
I'm from the underclass.
Oh, the underclass. Let me tell you. Boy, did they take to the soap shoes.
They loved the soap shoes.
This was like there was a bit of hard plastic in the middle of the bottom of the shoe that you would like soap up and then you could like do skateboard grinds on the shoe. Like you'd be walking around and then like on a curb, you'd go like...
Really?
Yeah. It was only a big thing in the very brief period of the late 90s.
Like, kind of, I guess, like, is that where wheelies evolved from, or heelies?
I reckon they were probably parallel. This was probably a blimp aeroplane situation.
Yep, okay.
And the wheelies won out, which are now only worn by children belonging to parents who I don't like. Whenever I see a kid out there doing the little thing with their feet scooting around, it's, I don't think you're a good parent. I don't think anyone should allow their children to have these shoes. There's a lot of things I would judge. We should. That's nice. That's nice.
It is coming together very well. Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep it all on the same eye line so that you can have it in the background.
No, it's good. It's worked. This is going to work.
What is that? A list of knots? Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, okay.
You're an excellent set designer.
Yeah. I wanted to look like the person who put this up has absolutely no taste. And
you could also do a good job.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's also shitting on us complimenting it.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't understand. We're going for high production on this podcast. As best we can. Things are starting to come together. Eve, if you want to talk, you come over and talk into the microphone or else people get very upset.
It's better than when you were in the van.
Being in the van was an exciting chapter of the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
The acoustics in a van are sensational. No one... I organized this, so I shouldn't get angry about it.
Yeah. So, can I ask you quickly? What... Because I don't know anything about boats.
Yeah.
What is a catamaran? Is that a silly question?
Two hulls. So, it's like a yacht would have one wooden bit down the bottom.
Yeah.
And a catamaran has two. So, it's a bit more stable for the family to live on.
Okay.
Two, and a trimaran would have three.
Like two levels or
no,
two
sideways.
Separate
it's
areas?
It's like two canoes with a bit across the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're striving for a catamaran.
Yes. So, my original plan was to just start a podcast and then have it be extremely successful.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen in the first year or the second year. And then so I had like a series of plans. I had an art auction. I had all these ideas. The current plan is break America and become extremely successful in America and use that money to buy a boat. It's the best plan I've had. So the money is currently being used to just keep this America trip working. But then I was like recycling it into – we did a big art auction. Albums, books of poems, you know, just the best ideas I could come up with at the time.
So you've got a catamaran fund going.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which is currently bare. Like more people are joining the Patreon and Eve's milking me dry. But talk into the mic.
If I could say how little money I'm making.
You can't.
Like peasant.
Get over there. I can have anything. Out of the charity of my heart, the sunglasses are coming on.
Put them on,
boss man. So we're getting there. I'm trying to break America as quick as I can.
Yeah,
and it's going very well.
Yeah,
but
you're doing great.
We're hanging on. You know,
yeah, okay.
At the moment, it's just like try and be very professional. I'm being professional here in a way I never was at home.
Yeah, okay.
Now I think you had a good attitude in Australia. You were on the. You say you weren't about. You weren't breaking Australia. We had a conversation about how successful you felt in Australia. I felt you were there. You the ABC was getting you to do little things here and there.
Yeah.
You were cool, very handsome. You would have had a money. You know, you would have had an ad for a gambling company in no time. Did you ever get offered the sports bet advertisements?
I never got offered a single. I auditioned. I think I looked too young because you were meant to look 28.
Nice.
And I think I kept looking
too
young.
Is that a rule in the industry?
Yeah. You have to look over like a certain age.
That's mental. I could definitely have done those ads.
You should have. You're still good.
I never got a call. No, I find it disgusting that they...
Yeah.
That like really good sketch comedians are giving their life's work to sports bet.
It is crazy. But it's also that thing where in Australia, it's kind of, you're like, well, it's good money.
Of like, course. And it's like, don't look, but also, okay, it is. In America, I would accept that because there's no safety net. In Australia, we have enough dole money and programs and grants and things that you should be able to have some principles. You're not going to be sitting under a bridge if it doesn't work out in Australia.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you want to.
But I guess if the goal is to live off the money you make creatively,
yes,
then when you hit a point where you're like flat broke and someone's like, hey, do you want $20,000 for 2 days' work?
Of course.
Yeah.
And I'm thank God I was never off. I was never given that opportunity. So I'm able to condemn these people for having taken it, because I would have taken it.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
But I find it, they're all very like lefty, progressive people with high ideals.
Yeah.
Who then immediately, and then no one holds it against them that they prostitute themselves.
See, I had that for ages. I was like, I will never do a gambling ad. I'll never do like an alcohol ad.
Yep.
But then I remember being so broke. I was like, man, I'll do a beep. I'll do anything.
Yeah.
Like I will swim in oil and talk about how beautiful oil is. Like I'll do anything for cash.
BHP stands for beautiful. Hip. Problem solving. I don't know. Yeah, but it's the other, like I was always an objectivist Ayn Rand conservative before I became a Catholic. I would have done all the ads.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but then all these people who like act like they wouldn't do the ads end up doing them, and no one even asks me. Mm. No one says, I wouldn't even be selling out for me. It would be entirely consistent with what I believe about the world. Eve,
yeah.
You got any thoughts?
About whether to do.
It's fine. Back you go. Eve's doing a tremendous job.
Where are the scissors?
They'll be inside. Right. Do you need the keys? I'll give you the keys.
I think it's open.
I think the kids went out for a picnic. It probably is open.
Yeah,
it's great. Maybe in the...
I would say kitchen.
The drawer.
Somewhere in the kitchen.
I'm sorry. All right, please do.
Sorry
for... She can get out.
Do you reckon it's also...
This is going to edit down fine.
Yeah, right. If you're also just loving... like companies and wanting to pump it anyway.
Yeah.
If they're like, well, we already know we've got McCann on side anyway.
We don't need to.
Why don't we flip one of these artists?
Yeah.
Get him to bend the knee to sports bet.
Yeah. You can't sell out if you have nothing to sell out for.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they want to break people.
I think they're doing a good job.
So they can sell their credibility. When did you know you had to come to this country?
I'd always wanted to.
Yeah.
I'd always wanted to. I mean, I never lived anywhere else either.
So but visiting like, is one thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to go to the UK from Australia. Like, they'll just take you in and you can gig there and you don't have to do a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
To come here, it's punishing.
Yeah. It's a nightmare. Getting the visa was a whole nightmare.
It's expensive. Ooh. It's nasty. You have to claim you've never wanted to design a genocide. You've never been involved in sex trafficking.
Those questions, I mean, everyone talks about it, but they rule so much. Where it's like, have you ever had child soldiers? It's like, how the fuck?
Well, I had to fill them out for my kids.
Did you like, really?
Yeah. So my then 0-year-old baby, I was like, I had to declare on his behalf that he'd never done it. And it just felt, something about it felt wrong. I don't know what it was. But it, yeah, like you shouldn't be asking if my baby's done a genocide.
Yeah.
It felt disrespectful.
To accuse that of your child so young.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I understand, but I think it's probably just someone in... It felt like worse than what it was. Because all I really had to do was click no, 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 no.
Yeah.
And it was all true because he's a baby. He's never done anything. But like part of doing that, if spiritually... I can't put my finger on why spiritually it felt like a problem. But it did.
Yeah, I wonder. Do you reckon it's having to get a baby involved in so much admin... already.
Like
it's like you're fresh out.
Yeah.
It's like...
But once you're in, there's way less admin. Like,
yeah.
There's not a lot of forms to fill out in this country by
there's
comparison.
None.
Yeah.
I haven't done any... I haven't had to show paperwork or anything anytime I've crossed a border.
If you do a W-9, which is the... Like when you do a gig for someone, you fill out the form.
Yeah.
In Australia, the tax file declaration form is 7 pages long. You don't have to fill out all of it, but it's that like... You know, it's got all the boxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one's like, give us your name... Give us your social security number. Where are we paying you? That's it.
Yeah,
it's
that's
over.
Crazy.
I love it.
Mm.
I feel there's so much about America that I am going to grapple with when I get home. Is that?
Oh, I think so as well.
Yeah.
I think there are... It is that thing where this country runs parallel, but it's so different.
It's incredible. They really believe in freedom.
Yeah. But I don't... Do you think the freedom that they have is any different to any other countries? Or like I would say Australia's freedom?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Driving?
In what sense?
You can... do you drive here?
No.
All right. It's huge. It's going to be huge.
Does.
Cut that right out. Thank you so much.
That's so lovely.
All right. Thank you.
I don't think he's okay.
I love you.
Stop pretending.
Stop pretending, James. We know you have kids.
I love so much.
Yeah. No, but I just came to this great. I don't want a suicide hotline to be set up and for women to start killing themselves because they can't have me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm happily married. I'm a beautiful wife. Apparently, these are on backwards. Someone wrote to me and told me.
Oh. Yeah. Which part?
Can you take them off and just
I can.
Wait, so when you bought that shirt, it came, you had to assemble it.
Yes, but Eve's done a tremendous job getting all. Hello.
I've done a tremendous job.
He's done a tremendous job.
Wait, should I do my lottery ticket?
Yes, but quietly in the corner. Are you working towards a special?
I am working towards a show for next year.
Okay.
But I'm in the process of being like, how much of this will translate in Australia?
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, how much of what you're doing here now can you take back home?
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice flip? You start out going, how much of my Australia gear can I carry over there?
Yeah,
and now
yeah.
It's how much of this gear will Australia love?
And it's stressful to move somewhere new and already be thinking about back home.
Yeah.
It's like, how am I working towards back home? Which is good. It's good to have like
a goal.
Are you
going to go back and do the festival season?
Yeah, that's the plan.
That is great.
Yeah. Try and do that. Enjoy it. But yeah, I guess I've just been trying to get in at the smaller clubs.
Yes.
Trying to work my way in at some of the better ones.
Nice.
And then just cool independent shows. Like,
that's the dream.
Yeah.
And then so, we'll get you through it. You get the cellar at some point.
It would be sick.
That's the number one. That's my dream.
Yeah.
And then are you going to be a club act? Is that the goal?
I'd love to. I would love to just do stand-up, right?
Yes.
Like,
go out to Minnesota.
I would love to go to Minnesota.
Go to the Mall of America. Is that in Minnesota, Eve?
Yes.
Is that the biggest shopping center in...
The biggest shopping center in the world.
See, is it still? I don't know. I would love to go to it. I love shopping centers. I find them therapeutic.
This is heartbreaking about Austin. There are like two malls and they're not great.
Really?
Yeah. Other parts of... They do strip malls. There's a big car park.
Yeah,
and you can walk around.
Yeah.
But this thing of, because it's so hot, I just want to go into a mall and be there for 3 hours with the kids taken away.
I was going to say, do you do that with the kids as a way to kind of distract them?
Yeah.
Yeah, get them through a day.
Very few museums in Austin.
Yeah.
To the kids' museum, the Thinkery yesterday, that was good. But it's like, okay, we've done that.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go back there all of a sudden. And there were no dinosaurs there. Did you win? No, I'm sorry.
Damn, that sucks. Well, how far is like Dallas in that? Can't you like trek up there for like a day or weekend?
We should.
Yeah.
Houston is more doable. Houston's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, okay.
3 hours, 4 hours. San Antonio is really close. We went to a museum there.
Yeah, rad.
It is. The drive is hideous. It's like...
In what way?
It just doesn't... It's just like shops and four-story highways the whole way. Like I had thought, I'm driving through Texas. Rolling hills, sweeping plains. It's just...
See, that's what we went through. Me and my partner drove through Louisiana one time, and it was just flat, but with houses everywhere.
Yeah.
Like everywhere.
It's so filled in.
That's what's so crazy about coming here. Like in Australia, you can drive for hours and not see fucking anyone
it's
or
so
anything.
Nice.
It's the best.
That country drive.
Yeah.
Is, I miss it. You have to... I believe that is here, but you just have to go...
Like way in?
Way out.
Yeah,
way
okay,
in.
Okay.
But driving, I drove from Notre Dame to Houston, and there was stuff the whole way. Mm. Even Austin, I did take the interstate. I'm sure we could have gone off the beaten path, but we got to go to Branson, and that was nice. But I've spoken about that a lot already. Yakov Smirnoff's Comedy Theater. All right, come in, grab a seat. You two share.
I'm really bummed. I have been thinking about lottery tickets a lot recently, and you know when you get so certain of something that you're like, all I have to do is buy it, and that's taking the first step that they talk about in all the self-help books. It's like, take the first step towards the universe and the universe will provide.
It's nuts.
And I bought a ticket and I thought at least I'd win back the money from the ticket. I didn't get anything. Nothing. Not a dollar. It's a Jew's nightmare.
You know the answer. You got to buy more lottery tickets.
Okay.
You got to keep going.
Well, you know what? I might need a raise.
Not for your lottery ticket addiction.
And to be fair, by the way, the reason I bought the lottery ticket was because I stopped in at the gas station because you were like, can you get me some Zin? You called me from the toilet.
She couldn't even get me Zin.
You called me this morning from the toilet. There's a Zin shortage.
I answered the call from the toilet.
You called me and then I returned your call while you were taken a big one. And then I
didn't say that. You could just hear it was an echoey room.
I didn't deny it.
I count it to the light. Yeah. Gee, that looks great.
Looks good, right? I mean, there's more to be done.
Yeah. We're going to have fish hanging from there.
Yeah, fish, seashells, I'm about to add.
Now, I want to say this because, we're increasingly, we have a normative podcast set up here. Obviously, it would be good if you both had microphones. We need to have things that can clip into reels.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just hit big news stories. And then it'll grow. Hold on. Did you see Nigel Farage was hit with a milkshake? Yeah. What kind of fucking scumbag would do that to a great man?
I don't know who Nigel Farage is.
He's the guy who suggested Brexit and then it was successful. And then he said, oh, wow, I never thought it would work. And so now he's running for prime minister, right?
He'll be around.
Yeah, he's trying to be the prime minister of the UK. But he's hated.
Yeah, okay.
You know what Brexit was?
Yeah, I know what Brexit was. I'm pretty sure. Fuck you.
Eve's from old money.
Yeah.
I'm not from old money.
Babylonian coins. This is a hard country. This is a challenging country.
America?
Yeah.
To break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's doable with a good attitude.
Yeah.
Have you ever read Catcher in the Rye?
I've never read Catcher in the Rye.
Okay. It's a Catcher in the Rye. This is going to be a great reel. Catcher in the Rye. You know, it was written by a man called J.D. Salinger, who later became a recluse. But he, for a time, he was in like the nastiest part of World War II. He was really involved in heavy fighting. And then he comes back and he writes not a war book, but a book about a boy who's gone through some hard times, who just stumbles around New York City for 2 days and seemingly gets pneumonia. That's the whole book. And he like hangs out with a prostitute and he doesn't have sex with her and he sees some nuns and then his sister's on a carousel and it rains. That's the end of the book. That's all that happens. But really what it is about is cynicism. It's a study about like... Sorry. It's all right. It's about like... It was banned is the other thing. So it was routinely on like... And the way that like trans books are banned from libraries. Like they didn't actually... The government didn't censor it, but people wouldn't have it in their school libraries because they thought it was a bad influence on children. And I had read it years ago, and I've reread it now, and I always thought, like, why? Like, this seems like a relatively harmless book about a boy who's just hanging out and doing stuff. I think it's because it can be read as a glorification of cynicism, and that's the one thing that can destroy you in America is a bad attitude. Like, if you have a good attitude here, incredible things can happen. And a lot of luck and like all these other things. But like if you are a waitress and you smile and you're optimistic, you can pull home thousands, at least $1,000 a week. If you're like, I don't like being a waitress. This sucks. Everything's crummy. Everyone's a fake. Financially, you're ruined.
Yeah. Okay.
Like having a bad attitude will kill you in this country. Nirvana. Again, why did Nirvana seem edgy and strange? Life is dumb. Everything's hard. You can't have that attitude here. You have to have that attitude in Australia.
Yeah.
And in the UK, where cynicism is like a national pastime.
Yeah.
But here, it has real world manifestations on your bank account. That's how I feel.
Do you reckon that's because everyone is maybe going through it? Like everyone's maybe having like a rough go.
Yeah.
So when people are having a rough go, but they're in a good mood about it, everyone's like, fuck yeah. Like we love that.
I'm
like,
getting behind. Hey, he's giving it his best.
Yeah.
And they don't. Here's the other thing. They don't care if you fail in America.
Yeah.
I find. You tell me if I'm wrong. You're the American. But it seems like if you try really hard and you've got a good attitude, that's okay. Because like if people have declared bankruptcy, you're like, yeah, but then he came back from bankruptcy is a thing that people would say here. Not like he was a bankrupt.
Can I chime in about this?
Yeah.
Are women allowed to speak?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. I was working on a joke about this that I abandoned. But yeah, I think this is why in the US you have so many sober comics. Because like in Australia, if you say like, you get on stage and you're like, I haven't had a drink in, 5 years. Here, they'll cheer for you.
Yeah.
In Australia, they're like, you're a pussy.
Amos has a great joke.
Does he?
Yeah. He goes, in America, if you say, I quit drinking, they give you a round of applause. In Australia, if you say, I quit drinking, people go, oh, he killed someone with his car.
Yeah. But I think it's because here people are excited when you're trying to make your life better.
Yeah.
And I think it is because we... we feel like there's no net. So it's like, if you don't work, you will die. If you let go, like, you'll just be poor. There's no healthcare. There's no housing, nothing like that. So it's like, don't fucking bring us down with your negativity, because you could.
We're all in the struggle.
Yeah. But if you, but bring us up. Wow. That's so inspiring. Like, you didn't drink for five after you killed somebody.
That's so incredible that you didn't turn to drink. Yeah. When I am in Australia, when I feel like manic about Australia and I go, I love this country. I love Australia. People go like, why? You know what I mean? Like, Adelaide. Like, I'm really pumped on Adelaide.
Yeah.
And people in Adelaide will be like, there's nothing to do. Football teams are collapsing once again. Like, it's really down. In America, it's like, I love this country. People go,
Yeah.
I can't imagine saying I love Australia and getting a spontaneous round of applause.
I don't think you ever could.
I'm going to try it when I go back.
Yeah, nice.
I love Australia. Where's he going with this?
If you say one word against Australia,
right,
when you're not Australian, as I did once or twice, people fucking, they're like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Whereas here, they import people into America to say nasty shit about America.
Yeah.
John Oliver, what do you think? Your politicians are so corrupt. It's unbelievable. Well, my least favorite is Trevor Noah. He'll be like, I can't believe how absolutely hateful. The race problem in America is so bad. Really, Trevor? What country are you from? How's the race question going on over there? Do you know what I mean? And they hear, they lap it up. Yum, yum, yum. Oh, Trevor, please tell us what's wrong with us. We love to tune in.
Blake is just turned red because he sees his future collapsing.
Obviously, Trevor Noah is a sensational comedian worthy of our respect.
Is it racist to do someone's accent when they're not white, but the accent is white?
Well, he's he would say colored. I'm going to turn this off. And that's a classification there. That's not a negative thing.
Yes, in South Africa,
And I would just say that
but you've been waiting to say it your whole life.
It's half
white. Like, in South Africa, that's actually allowed? It says, I know what I'm talking. It's an educated word.
It's an educated word to say. It's colored. And I only say it in that context. And when I'm doing his accent,
because
he's half white, half black, I'm only doing the white half. This will cut well so far. You wait and you see how professional this looks.
I'm very interested.
I wish I could just do a calm, you know, like some people do podcasts and they just like keep it on the rails the whole time and it's like a free flowing.
But that's not really your vibe though, right? Yeah.
I can't do it.
But that's fine.
We'll get out.
It wouldn't make sense if you were wearing a normal button-up shirt and not a captain's hat. Just asking genuine questions.
Well, let's give it a go. You got any great anecdotes?
I got fuck all.
If you have any beautiful anecdotes, now's the time to tell them.
Have I got any anecdotes? I don't know.
That's what every talk show is really about. You got anything really funny you can say?
I don't know if this is funny, but I told my partner this the other day because I remembered it when I was lying in bed the other night.
Tell me.
It just came into my mind. So this happened when I was in primary school, which is like elementary school.
Yes.
And I remember I spat on the ground and a teacher saw me spit and was like, you need to come to my office after lunch. And then I went into her office and she was like, do you think it's okay to spit on the ground? And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Outside?
Yeah, outside.
Yeah.
It was on an oval, on a grass oval. And she was like, yeah, but if you spit on the ground and someone has a cut on their knee and they kneel into that cut and they get your saliva in their cut, now they've got AIDS. Swear to God. And then she was like, and then if that student goes and maybe kisses another student and now that student has AIDS. And she just ran through this whole thing and she, to the end of it, she was like, and now 20 students have AIDS. And you've given 20 students AIDS.
We should mention for the listeners, you don't have AIDS.
I don't have AIDS. Yeah.
Which would be a necessary precondition of giving someone the AIDS.
This, I would have been maybe 8 or 9. Maybe 8 or 9. I would have been year 2. Oh, like 2003? Yeah.
First of all, that's so late for somebody to think that you could get AIDS from spit. Like, that's
Man,
just...
Eve. But Australia, I'm telling you, the Australian public, like the Australian primary education system in the 90s through the early 2000s was unbelievably geared towards AIDS awareness campaigns.
But so the same thing happened to me, but it was not as innocent. So we were doing like blood sisters. So this is a little bit more. So it was like you cut your hand and then you rub your hands together. Jesus. At my school. But it was like 1994, which, like, to be fair, suburbs of New York City, a little bit more understandable that there would be an AIDS scare. And then they like had to be like, AIDS, and we were kids, and so then we were like, oh, AIDS. And also Forrest Gump came out around then, and Jenny Does Have AIDS, and my dad explained it to me, and then I had a dream about him trying to give me AIDS with a heroin needle. But when I lived in Australia, I felt really paranoid because I had sex without a condom. I know you're against sex outside of marriage.
I'm supportive of sex without a condom. I think it's great you didn't have a condom.
Yeah. Thanks, James.
You shouldn't have had the sex, but obviously closer to being good. Go on.
But this is how far Australia has shifted. I went to get like my test and whatever, and I was like, I shouldn't have, blah, blah, blah. And then I was really paranoid, and I was like, there's no AIDS. Like, I was like, it's like, and I just wanted her to go, I'm sure you're fine, but use a condom. And she goes, honestly, and this is at the sexual health clinic. She's like, honestly, there's so little AIDS in Australia. You're more likely to get hit by a bus than you are to get AIDS without it. So it doesn't really matter if I use a condom. I'm like, this is crazy.
That's definitely not her job to say that.
No. Cannot tell you to not use a condom. Yeah. So anyway.
Comparably fused heterosexual women getting AIDS as well.
It's true. But it's such an irresponsible thing to say. And
there's this push to like, don't worry about AIDS. It's been a big push of the last few years. Yeah. Like, if you get it, you get it.
Yeah.
That's nice. You can live with it. It's fine. Nice. Don't stigmatize it. If you want to give it to someone on purpose, it's not a crime, whatever.
That's totally what the discourse is. It's so funny. You have such a memory for dialogue.
That's literally the Surgeon General of California saying, go out and give someone AIDS today.
I actually, you know what? You're right. I did hear that. I read it, I think. Right? Have you heard that?
What? No.
No, of course, it didn't fucking happen.
I'm on the computer. Get AIDS.
AIDS is good.
Hey, just because something's not coming up right now doesn't mean... Yeah, look, I'll hear something once and then I'll cite it like it's true. That's an ongoing problem that I have.
I remember someone told me in high school that they found... that scientists found fish on the moon. And it was only until I was 22 where I said that to Peter Jones, who's a comedian we know, that like, oh, yeah, it's like how there's fish on the moon. And he was like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
There's
no fish.
Yeah, there's no fish at all.
I mean, we don't know because we've never been. That's the greatest naivete of all, is to think that we can know what's on the moon. Hasn't Eve done a tremendous job?
It's not done?
It's not done?
No.
It's coming together really nicely.
The fish.
What time is your therapy appointment?
3.
What will you be discussing?
You.
Into the microphone.
I'll be talking about you. I'll be talking about why I allow people to exploit me.
Yeah.
Financially. No, what am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about...
At your therapy session.
Say again? At my therapy session.
I was just doing a good edit point. What will you be doing at your therapy session, Eve?
Well, I'm going to have Zoom therapy in this room. I mean, they'll keep this background.
Nice.
Because every week I've been moving. I moved a couple times recently. And so she's always like, where are we now? And today, what if I just sit in front of this and I don't say a word about it and just see what she says? But I'll probably talk about how I still struggle to go to sleep on time.
Mm.
Because when I was a kid, no one gave me a bedtime. And I'm still working that out. And then, and that means that I stay sick longer. It means that I'm not as funny on stage because I'm tired all the time. Okay, so that's one thing. And then what should I talk about?
Well, here's something that I've been thinking about this week that I should communicate.
Yeah.
As the podcast gets bigger and more regulated and more successful,
mm-hmm.
I can see that we may enter into a danger zone where I go from, you know, like, guy you're helping and it's fun,
mm-hmm.
but ramshackle, mm-hmm. to seriously bad employer. Like, if the money gets to a point where this is a proper job,
yeah,
I think I'm going to be a bad boss. The way I'm acting now, and the, you know, things are a mess.
You're finally
going to starting.
You're
going to
hit me. I knew it. I knew that the
Eve
day was
always
coming.
Wants to be hit.
Eve, I just want you to show who you really are. But yes, okay.
Eve is a hungry sub. Literally, yesterday, twice. Oh, you're going to hit me? You're going to hit me?
Yeah,
hit me?
I said it.
Sometimes it's going to happen. Not from me. Yeah. But one day, you're going to find a man who...
So you're saying that you're going to be a bad boss. You think you're like a good
boss
now.
I'm concerned about it. It's like, Blake's got something to say.
In what way? Like financially not paying or just demanding?
Man, having money on time. I owe money to people at the moment. And money's about to come in. But it's like, I have to... get accommodation in Australia is the first thing. It's like, when will I actually have the money to pay people back?
Yeah.
In terms of a salary, when will I be able to do that? In terms of like regular hours, you know, Eve's on the clock. She's been here for 12 hours trying to get this podcast right. And, you know, that's not fair to Eve. And I want you to know, I'm thinking about it. And as the podcast becomes more successful, I'm going to attempt to be professional in relation to how successful the podcast is becoming.
Well, that's good, because what you don't know about me is that I'm like a little bitch. But not like a little bitch like I'm your bitch. I'm like you'll pay me on time. I know you will, because I'll just look you in the eye and be like, James,
you're
Jewish.
Very good at this. Yeah.
I'm Jewish. I want to watch you send me the money right now.
You're very good at saying you're Jewish.
Yeah. But also it's like, I'm never going to not get paid. Like, that's something I'm good at, but is getting paid. But yeah, I'll push back. I'll tell you.
I appreciate that, because I don't push back well in a business environment.
Yeah, I know, but I coached you about pushing back on something business-wise. Remember?
Yes, I didn't do it.
Right, but was it good advice?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Great business advice.
Yeah, I mean,
Americans
I don't use
tend
it.
To,
yeah,
but I struggle.
Right,
but I once
Your tactic is, if I just ignore it, it'll work out. Which is it's
great,
yeah. At some point, it stops working.
If you
working.
Never see him coming, you never have to hide.
Yeah.
That's a line from a gay song.
Is that Andrew and Drag?
No, that is Perfume Genius's Don't Beg, I'm gonna make free as much as your body. That's what he sounds like.
Can you sing Andrew and Drag? Which
no.
is your son's
My
I won't
son's
say
favorite
which son,
song.
But it's why not? It's such a good song.
It's a song about watching a man. It's about a straight man who goes to a drag show that his buddy's doing as a joke. And then he finds it really hot.
Yeah.
And he's like, Andrew will never do it again. But Andrew and drag gave me such a throbbing erection. And
it doesn't say that in the song, but that's
my
James added.
Dog
it.
Began to wag.
Is that
wag
what he says?
Like a little puppy dog for Andrew and drag.
And your son's
my
like.
My tail began to wag.
Oh, yeah, he does say that.
Wag like a little puppy dog. That's how
Andrew and drag.
It's a great song. I just wish it wasn't my son's favorite song.
Magnetic Field's so good. But yeah, now I love it. And I just drive around my little Prius going, Andrew and drag.
Andrew and drag. Yeah. He's deaf in one ear or something. Yeah. He's got some. He's like the guy who's. So he's got all sorts of weird health conditions.
Well, he has another song called Epitaph for My Heart. And every time anybody ever breaks up with me, which is like every time I go on a first date, that's the same day. And it's like, it's in the beginning, but he goes, let this be an epitaph for my heart. Cupid put too much poison in the dart. Like, and then it just gets like so dark.
We're gonna get you on optimistic white lady songs. Get in that dating game. Get it working out. Taylor Swift is
no,
your diet.
No,
I'm
not saying Taylor
right
Swift.
Why not?
Camille
She's
Paglia called her a
Nazi,
Nazi Barbie.
Barbie. Yeah.
I was Googling this last
Don't
night.
Don't you worry about it. If Camille Paglia has had a public opinion on somebody,
I
know
what
it is. What
I hate the most is that I'm becoming a Camille Paglia fan because of you.
We're going to get her on the pod. We've got to get her on the pod.
Andrew and drug.
We're going to get her on the pod. Now, hold on. Blake has to tell very quickly two more anecdotes so that we can cut it to reels. Come on. Blake, any anecdotes?
Let me think of another anecdote. What other anecdotes have I told you any stories? Oh, have I told you about... I told you that I'm engaged.
Yeah.
But did I tell you the story of the proposal?
No.
I don't know if it's funny, but it's real. So I decided that I wanted to propose to my partner, but because she was coming over a month and a half before I was to America, so I had a whole month and a half to think about it, and my partner had always said that she never wanted a ring, and so I was like, all right, I'm not getting her a ring, she doesn't want a ring, doesn't like the feel of it, doesn't want one.
Yeah.
And then the day before I was coming over... and I knew I was going to propose, I panicked and was like, I need to get her a ring. But if I buy one, she'll be mad. So I was like, ask my friend, like, hey, do you have any rings that I could maybe use to propose? And he gave me three of the ugliest rings
nice
ever. And so then cut to where at a restaurant, it's on her birthday, which I didn't know was tacky, but apparently is.
I think that's nice.
Someone told me it was super tacky. Like,
wait,
you
the restaurant
do it.
Was tacky or doing it
no,
at a restaurant?
No, doing it on
tacky.
The birthday. Like,
I waited until my now wife's birthday because I didn't want to propose until she was 21.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that real? That's very
I was young too.
Yeah, okay.
I was like early 30s.
I was
45. No, please go on.
So we get to the restaurant and I was so... Were you nervous when you proposed?
Terrified.
I was terrified.
Thought I was gonna vomit.
It was... So I was shaking. I was sweating. Like, I was petrified. And I had a whole... I'd written out on a piece of paper what I wanted to say, which was like...
That's hilarious.
But I didn't bring it with me
Thank
to the
God.
Restaurant.
Thank God.
But it That's was...
A, that is a bad... Like yeah. Q&A audience member getting ready. I have always thought so highly of you.
Yeah. But what I ended up saying was we were sitting down and we'd just gotten like a wine or whatever. And I said, like it was kind of silent for a second. And I was like, hey, dude, how do you feel about like getting married and shit? That is word for word what I said. And Liz was like, my part, whatever, was like,
you can say it. Do you say her name?
Well,
do you want me to edit it out?
No, it's fine.
All right, no, it's fine. We know who
this is. And she was like, are you being for real? And I was like, I'm being 100% serious. And then I pulled out three shitty rings to give to her. And she like could not deal with it. She was like, thought I was doing a bit, thought I was like pranking her. Though. It took me like 30 minutes to convince her that I was actually
like
proposing.
Did she pick the least ugly ring?
She said they're all disgusting and
she
didn't touch
didn't
them.
Take any of them?
She still doesn't have an engagement ring.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I do not like wearing rings and every day I... But that's sort of what marriage is. Marriage is wearing a ring that you don't want to wear. No, it's like, it's good and you should do it. It's cool, you get the ring, but it's like, it's uncomfortable, you know.
Does it not fit properly? Shouldn't it fit properly?
I mean, yeah, it does, I guess. We were so poor, we just went to the secondhand ring shop.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, a couple died. And check this out. And it like basically fit both of our hands properly.
What a steal.
Yeah. It was like, this is a $150 ring.
That's a good price.
Yeah, we did all right. It says superb on the inside. And we don't know why.
That's insane that you're wearing a ring with someone else's inside joke.
It's got
as your
superb.
I one time got my friend's ring stuck on my finger when I was in middle school and we had to get them sawed off. It was a set of three.
The ring sawed off?
Yeah, there's a special ring saw that's non-electric. It's a handheld saw. And I was 12, I think. Oh my God. I went to the nurse. I used cold water. They put butter on my hand. They took me to the doctor. Now I know that there's other tricks that you can use. Like you wrap string around your finger.
Yeah.
And then you try to move the ring over the string. But this was a set of three rings.
You can also purge.
Purge like vomit?
Yeah, just sit in a sweat room and not have any liquids for several days.
That's such a good idea. I was surprised I didn't try that when I was
12. You put it in
12.
The hand shrinking chamber.
Yeah. You should be bulimic. You should basically stop
eating.
I'm
just saying it's not, and then use the vomit as a lubricant. Hey, it's so great to be here on the James Donald Force Can't Get a Ram plan. This is going to edit down beautifully into a fantastic half an hour episode. We should give you the room.
Yeah, I got to
cry. You got to do therapy.
But we're not. I play it off, but I'm dreaming of you. And I keep my cool, but I'm fiending. I try to say goodbye and I check. Try to walk away and I stumble. No, I try to hide it. It's clear. My way quivers when you are not near. Trying to work.
and I may seem alright. Smile when you leave, but my smiles are just a friend. I play it off, but I'm dreaming of you. And I keep my cool, but I'm dreaming. I try to say goodbye and I joke. Try to walk away and I stumble. Though I try to hide and swear. Now what problems when you are not left? Goodbye and I joke. Try to walk away and I stumble. Though I try to hide and swear. My what problems when you are not left? Here is my confession. May I be your possession? Your love kisses and such with all my might I try, but this I can't deny. I play it off, but I